ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 102 of the report. Yeah, man, it's been about a week. Been about a week since the last time I talked to you guys, man. And let's get right into it, man. Let's get right into the business of the Span Report podcast and doing this whole podcasting thing. But before I do that, now, but before I get into all of that, I was noticing something that was going on with the Span Report feed earlier in the week with certain apps, right? So with Pocket Cast, which is an app that I really do recommend to a lot of people when it comes to getting your podcast or whatever. For whatever reason, man, Pocket Cast was not allowing me to download the latest episode of the Span Report. And what I ended up having to do was kind of like clear out some of the episodes of other podcasts and my own podcast. I had to clear those out pretty much. I had to delete the old ones in order to make room for the new ones. Now, I'm not sure if anybody else may be dealing with that sort of issue when it comes to getting episode 101. Nobody's distracted, but if you're running into that issue with Pocket Cast or even with Stitcher Radio, I would suggest maybe probably having to deleting some of the older episodes of the show so that you can get access to the newer episode of the show, because I was running into that issue myself as well. So if you guys are having trouble downloading episode 101, that might be the issue that you're running up against, right? Because I know I was, and even after I got finished editing episode 101, I noticed that it was still a pretty large file. So yeah, if you're running into that issue, that's probably what it is. I noticed it for myself. And so, yeah, just to get a word out that you may be running into that issue because of how large that file is. That podcast is a little bit over 2 hours long. And I did have a guest on the show with me as well. So those shows tend to run a little bit longer. But, yeah, man, if you're running into that issue, that might be the issue right there. That might be the problem that you may be running into. So I just want to get that word out now. But, of course, before we get into everything Span Report or the rest of the show, I gotta let you guys know how you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline. The hotline, of course, is area code 313-288-0485. There's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play those on the show and I will respond in kind. You can also email the show. The email is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails and of course I'll read those on the show and of course reply to those here on the show, and I got a few that I need to address on this particular episode today. Also, chop it up with your man on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. And you can also like the Facebook fan page, the Mr. Span Facebook fan page. I haven't mentioned it much lately, but you can go to the Mr. Span fan page, just search in Mr. Span and Facebook, and you should be able to find me. Go ahead and like the fan page, man. It's very much appreciated. And I try to share as much as what I share on my personal Facebook, I try to share that on the Mr. Span fan page as well. Also, Ask Head of the Week submission, send me those. Give me some people to talk shit about and express why they're at Ass Hat this week. Go ahead and leave me those at asshat@thespanreport.com. That's asshat@thespanreport.com. That's the email address for that there. Give me a review, iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, man. 5-star reviews preferably, but all reviews are appreciated. It helps the show grow. It gets the word out about the show, and it costs you absolutely nothing. So go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Leave a review for the Span Report podcast. It's very much appreciated, and it's a favor to me. And if you're listening to this, I would very much appreciate it. I really would. It helps the show grow. And for all of your Span Report needs, all of them, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything Span Report related is on the website. All of the videos of the podcast, all of the sound clips to the podcast, all of the podcasts, each and every last one of the Span Report podcast episodes are available. All 102 are available on thespanreport.com. So go there and get your Span Report fix, man. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, man. Yeah. Now, there's been a few things going on, man, in the world and in life and stuff like that, man. And I've been kind of dealing with my own little problems, man. Have you ever been overpaid by your job? Has anybody ever had that happen to them? Yeah, man. So, like, at one point in December last year, I received a check that was a little bit more than what your man Span should have gotten. But it was one of those things that where, because we do get bonuses at my job, that it wasn't something that I wasn't accustomed to seeing, you know, on a monthly basis. We always have these monthly bonuses that we get. And so I didn't make anything. I didn't make anything of it. You know, I just realized, I figured it might have been the bonus that was due for me that month. And I go to work last week to be pulled into a meeting to say that the company overpaid your boy by about $2,000. Right? So, yeah, man, the company says they overpaid your man's man. And I'm just like, man, okay. You know, so what we gonna do? You know, how we gonna fix this or whatever? And so they came up with this solution to basically deduct from my check every for the next 6 months. They're gonna be deducting from my check like $140 something or some shit like that. And this is weird, man. It's like, you know, how do I know y'all overpaid me? You know, you know, like, because again, like I said, that was one of those things where I was used to getting a monthly bonus every month, and it would be around that, you know, around that amount, depending on the amount of work that we did out in the field. So it wasn't anything that I wasn't accustomed to seeing, but it was odd to have your supervisor pull you into an office, you and the crew that you work with, to say that, hey, we gave y'all too much money that month. We need to get that money back, and we're going to be deducting that shit from your check from the next 6 months. And yeah, man, it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks. I mean, $143, I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, I'm not going to even try to make it sound like it's nothing. $143 every check is a lot of money for the next 6 months. So, you know, it's frustrating. Let's put it to you that way. It's frustrating, man. Especially the beginning of the job this year has been frustrating, man. I'm one of those people where, like, at the end of the day, I really try not to worry so much about things that are outside of my level of control. If I can't control it, I try not to worry about it. But at the end of the day, man, your man Span got bills due just like everybody else. And I would like to use that $143 towards something else, right? I might want to go get my wife a gift. I might want to go put some extra gas in my other car. I might want to, I don't know. I might want to go, like, to dinner or some shit like that. There's a whole lot of those different things that, you know, I would like to do with the money that I work for every day. So, yeah, man, I don't know if anybody's ever had that happen to them where your job overpaid you and they felt like, yo, we need to start taking this money back, and they're going to deduct it the same way that you would get it deducted out of, you know, for, like, income taxes, state taxes, and city taxes, because I pay city of Detroit taxes too. So it's just weird, man. Like, I got so many things deducted off of my check. By the time I see it, I'm like, where the fuck did all my money go? Serious, man. Serious. Like, every time I look at it, it's like, man, I'm getting raped every check, son. Yeah, man. But, yeah, that happened at work this week, man. I got them taking money out of my check at the job, man. So that's going on, man. Another thing, too. Have you guys ever had a coworker who was just extra chatty in the morning, right? I'm not exactly the most chatty dude in the morning. I know sometimes, like, you know, having this podcast can kind of present a, you know, kind of make you think otherwise, right? This boy's, you know, this guy Span is real verbose. But sometimes in the morning, man, I'm real cranky. I'm not really the greatest person to be around in the morning. I'm really just trying to wake up. By the time I actually get out into the field and we're doing work or whatnot, and I have to work with a guy who is always talkative, you know, like, he's always talking, and I'm trying not to be rude, because sometimes I'm actually listening to somebody else's podcast, or I'm listening to the news, or I'm listening to something, I'm in my phone, just trying to get my mind right, trying to get into my mode, and this guy just continues to talk about nothing. Sometimes he's telling me about his wife, sometimes he's telling me about his kids, and it's hard not being that rude guy who really that wants to say, look, dude, I don't give a fuck about your wife and your kids, right? But you know, it is what it is, man. I have to understand that, like, sometimes, you know, that's what he is, and that's who he is, and that's how he gets down. That's how he gets in his mode for the day that we got ahead of us. So I really try not to be a dick about it, but at the same time, it is a bit rude, especially when you're listening to something in a headphone or whatever, and I got my earbuds in my ear while I'm at work, and to have to pull out my earbuds to listen to what this dude says, like, hey, you said something to me? You know, that could be a bit annoying. But yeah, man, it is what it is, man. Just like getting adjusted to a new crew, getting adjusted to the company, feeling like they have to take some money from me every month, you know, because they said they overpaid your boy. Yeah, man. So 2016 has gotten off to a really rocky start as far as the job is concerned. You know what I mean? But yeah, outside of that, man, let's get into some of this shit, man. Let's get into some of this stuff, because I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Right. And so, of course, I want to get into what's been going on with Cam Newton. Cam Newton is the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, who's been leading. He's one of my favorite teams, man. I've always been one of my favorite teams ever since, like, they became a thing, like, in 95. Like, I liked their logo, and I was like, you know what? I fuck with them just off of that. I was 15, man. Come on. But, yeah, man, like, Cam Newton has been getting a lot of flack for just being who he is. So we're going to discuss that a little bit later. Or actually, we're going to discuss that shortly. But a little later, we'll have... there was this one 35-year-old dude who posted a video on Facebook. He was talking about the state of hip-hop. He was about 35. And his video went viral. And a lot of people agree with what he said. What I'm going to do is we're going to kind of examine the logic behind what he said. Because, you know, it's old head hip-hop logic. We was gonna go with that. Old head hip-hop logic. We're gonna talk about that. Also, we're gonna talk about a bit of street harassment tonight. You know, there was an instance where a sister just lost her life because she didn't want to reciprocate the advances of a dude who was really trying to get with her, and she lost her life because of it. So we're gonna talk a bit about that. I got an ass hat of the week, I got a champ of the week, and we got a subject, or we got a topic that we're going to debut this week called This Week in Hotep. So This Week in Hotep is going to debut on this particular episode of The Span Report, man, real talk. But yeah, man, before we get into all of that, of course, we got to thank our sponsor, Time Life, for hooking your boy up with a little check to... keep this thing going, man, because, you know, at the end of the day, the Span Report comes out of your man Span's pocket. All this shit ain't free, right? So, thank you to Time Life for your contribution. And here they go. Yo, homie, what if I told you that you could get all of your favorite gangster classic anthems all in one bomb ass collection? Well, wait no more. Time Life Music done hooked your ass up with ballers and shot callers. 36 gangsta bangers to get any lame ass party popping. We got all of your favorites too. We got Master P. AMG. Tonight, you be the love of my life, cause I'm hugging you like I'm hugging the mic. Plus I'm the one that's rubbing your right, and able to stick my tongue on finger, and able to lick till you drop. Even though I like to stick the twat, I'm realizing it's a variation the ways I can get you high. I'm into loaning you, so pick the spot. I give pleasure to it, but let me hush and make the lust get in check. I know you don't want me to hit it yet, but don't be acting like it's a crime, cause it ain't been committed yet. But baby, won't you let me get it what? Get it wet. Tupac.
That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker.
Take money.
Westside, bad boy killers. You know who the realest is. Westside, when we ride, come equipped with game. You claim to be a player, but I fucked your wife.
And many, many more. Get your ballers and shot callers collection on 2 CDs for just $29.99. But hold on, player. If you order within the next half hour, we'll hook you up with a whole joint for $19.99. Yeah, nigga, that's right. $19.99. Then you'll get to check out our other collections like Booty Poppin' and Shit Droppin'. We'll even throw in our gangster inspirational album, the Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangsta collection, featuring one of the most gangsta inspirational songs of all time, Gangsta Lean by DRS. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, nigga!
This song's dedicated to my homies in that gangsta lean. Why'd you have to go so soon?
So what you waiting for? Get your ass up and call 1-800-911-5304. That's 1-800-911-5304 to order Ballers and Shot Callers Collection on two CDs for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Call now or order at timelife.com. Peace.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to Time Life for the check for that particular ad. Thank you so much. Excuse me. Like I said, I don't know what Time Life thinks of my audience, but thank you. Thank you for that money. Yeah. Yeah, man, let's talk about some things, man. I got Cam Newton has been in the news a bit, right? A lot lately. He's been like the talk of ESPN. He's been the talk of sports radio. He's been the talk on Twitter. And, you know, it's interesting, man. Like, it's one of those things with Cam Newton is we've heard a lot about him since college, pretty much. I remember when he was a quarterback at Auburn. And he was coming out of, I think it was a 2011 draft. And when he was coming out for that draft, how there were so many different aspersions kind of cast upon him, whether it was anonymous scouts talking about him being insincere and his smile being fake, to, you know, questions about his recruitment to Auburn when he left the University of Florida as Tim Tebow's backup quarterback, right? So there's been so many different things talked about with Cam Newton. Negatively so, right? Not so much about the fact that this guy has pretty much been a winner everywhere he's gone. Like, he's won at Auburn. He won a national championship, I believe, at Auburn. He's won a Heisman Trophy. He's been the Rookie of the Year of the NFL. He's much accomplished in the NFL as of right now. I mean, even now, he's considered the MVP of the league, and his team is 17-1 going into the Super Bowl, right? So he has been a winner pretty much everywhere he's gone as a quarterback, right? And it's been interesting to watch how people react to Cam Newton and how he conducts himself, right? You know, one can make a lot about, you know, what people say on Twitter. And I know, like, I run into a lot of Twitter trolls. I've argued with quite a few Twitter trolls about a number of different things. And it was amazing how when Cam Newton is a person who goes out, gives footballs to kids after a touchdown, how he conducts himself in a classy manner, so to speak, right? You think about the fact that, like, after the Panthers won the NFC Championship game, how he didn't want to give credit to himself, how Cam Newton pretty much wanted to spread the wealth around, as he didn't do this by himself. His cleats has his teammates' names on them. Every last one of his teammates have their names etched into his cleats on the football field, right? This is a great team guy. And it's been one of those things where, like, you know, you can kind of tell where some people are rubbed the wrong way because either they aren't used to that kind of exuberance on the field, they aren't used to that kind of confidence on the field, they aren't used to seeing that amount of ability on the field. Because let's kind of put it out there. Like, to me, I look at Cam Newton as kind of a combination of a Michael Vick, the electricity that Michael Vick had when he came into the league. And it wasn't just about him running, but having the arm strength too. But the fact that he's been able to kind of put this all together in a winning package, right? Mike Vick was a flawed individual, and they made Mike Vick pay for it. Cam Newton isn't as flawed as Mike Vick is, and yet they're still trying to make Cam Newton pay for it, so to speak. And so it's weird watching it happen. It's weird watching it happen. It's weird watching, you know, people try to make a connection with him being a thug to his celebrating, you know, making a touchdown. It's weird seeing that. It's weird watching it happen. I've seen it all over Twitter that Cam Newton's a thug, that Cam Newton is classless, right? So, like, speaking on the whole classless thing, like, Brian Urlacher, who was a former linebacker for the Chicago Bears. And I know I'm getting old because I remember when Brian Urlacher was a free safety when he got drafted, and they made him into a middle linebacker in Chicago. But Brian Urlacher went on, I believe this article here is from the Washington Post, but Brian Urlacher said this. He said, put Brian Urlacher in the Titans camp. The former Pro Bowl linebacker for the Chicago Bears made it clear Thursday that he is not a fan of Cam Newton's antics and that he vastly prefers the understated demeanor of the quarterback Newton will be facing in the Super Bowl, the Denver Broncos' Peyton Manning. I played defense, so I don't like when guys celebrate with dances and stuff. You know who I like the way he celebrates is Peyton. He kind of gives the guy a handshake and goes to the sidelines. I think that's a great celebration right there, right? You don't see Manning dancing. You don't see him doing all of this, that stuff. Even when he gets a first down, he doesn't do anything, right? Now, of course, we've heard this also from former Chicago Bear and also a Tennessee State alum, Richard Dent, right? And Richard Dent said that he would also take umbrage to the fact that Cam Newton dances while he after a touchdown and everything else. And Cam has pretty much made it a consistent thing. Like, if you don't like what I'm doing, keep me out of the end zone. Keep me out of the end zone. And it's one of those things where that's a very valid point to make. Like, yo, man, if you don't want me dancing all over your, all in your stadium, if you don't want me celebrating, man, stop me from scoring. That's how you stop all of that, right? And it goes into how we look at celebration, how we look at what's acceptable and what's not. The point has been made repeatedly about how Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers has made the discount double check a thing, right? Like, he goes and he does his, and he puts his pelvis out and he celebrates in a way in which a lot of folks don't have an issue with. As a matter of fact, he's gotten the State Farm endorsement commercial series behind it, right? You think about Tom Brady, Michigan alum. Tom Brady runs around the field, curses and shit, high fives and all of that, all of those things. Brett Favre was known for his exuberance. Brett Favre was running around the field, high fiving, all of those things, right? So it's how we look at who's doing the celebrating and what celebrations are acceptable and which ones aren't, right? And a lot of the folks who take umbrage to Cam Newton, although you don't want to say that everybody's racist, right? Because that may not necessarily be true. But a lot of it is steeped in their not either understanding or either not embracing the culture from which Cam comes from. You know what I mean? And so, like, you'll get a letter from a Tennessee Titans fan who was taken aback and appalled and offended, so much so that she wrote a letter to the Tennessean about how Cam Newton conducted himself on the field, right? Or you'll get another fan out of Seattle who would put forth a change.org petition to ban Cam Newton from playing in that football stadium because he thought that Cam Newton was classless. That you would have Brian Urlacher say that the way that Cam Newton presents himself is classless. And so this has been, kind of building up. It's been building up for a while. And so it got to a point where, because this is a Super Bowl and because a lot of the media are surrounding this and they're covering pretty much every aspect of it, they got 2 weeks of news to fill, it got to a point where Cam Newton had to kind of address some of the things that have been said about him and the perceptions of him. And here's what Cam had to say.
Now, here I am. I'm doing exactly what I want to do, how I want to do it. And when I look in the mirror, it's me. You know what I'm saying? Nobody changed me. Nobody, made me act this certain type of way. And I'm true to my roots. And it feels great. But yet, people are going to say whatever they want to say. And if I'm in this world living for that person, oh, this person going to say this, this person going to say that, then I can't look at myself and say I'm Cam Newton or I'm Cameron Newton to most people. Because I'm not. Because I'm living for you.
All right. And that holds true to not only Cam Newton. I remember there was a time where, I want to say, was it 2 years ago? When we were having a lot of the same discussion surrounding Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman, the cornerback of the Seattle Seahawks, was also referred to as a thug, as classless, as someone who was not who you would want to bring home to dinner, so to speak, right? He wasn't exactly the nicest guy. Like, people didn't necessarily embrace Richard Sherman at the time. And it was ironic how those same folks who didn't necessarily embrace Richard Sherman at the time were loving Richard Sherman when he said all lives matter, right? When he got into that whole thing and he talked about all lives mattering. And it was also funny that it would be the Seattle Seahawks fan who would say that Cam Newton doesn't deserve to play in Seattle, and we wanted to ban him, or they wanted to ban him from that stadium from playing because Cam Newton was classless. And yet 2 years ago, their very own player, Richard Sherman, was being hit with these same sort of allegations and accusations of being a classless human being, right? And shout out to some of the other Seattle Seahawks fans who also made a petition to say, yo, fuck that guy who made the other petition, right? Because he don't represent us, right? And that's the thing, man. Like, you got a lot of butthurt people who are offended by a lot of things, or who are offended by everything, right? And that goes into the whole, like, what some folks will say, outrage culture. Everybody's looking to be outraged by everything, right? You see that all the time, right? And so it was unusual. Well, it's not necessarily unusual. I'm saying we've seen this before. We've seen this precedent happen before, where someone who is black, who is unapologetically black, who is boisterous, who will say what is on their minds, who will be who they are typically not necessarily embraced originally. We saw this with Jim Brown. Jim Brown is pretty much, by and large, recognized as one of the greatest football players to ever play the game, one of the greatest running backs to ever play the game. Jim Brown hasn't necessarily been embraced in much the same way that, say for instance, Muhammad Ali has been, because Jim Brown still to this day speaks to systemic injustices and speaks to racial issues and speaks to the plight of the African-American male in the condition that we find ourselves in when it comes to the prison industrial complex. Jim Brown still speaks to these issues. Muhammad Ali, at the time of Muhammad Ali was in his prime, Muhammad Ali was seen as one of the enemies of the state, to where they put Muhammad Ali in jail because he refused to fight in the Vietnam War. Because he said, the Viet Cong never called me nigger. He stood on that principle and he lost his heavyweight championship of the world. And he faced prison time for it, right? And we look at Muhammad Ali now. A lot of folks look at Muhammad Ali now as this great human being. A lot of black folks always saw him that way. Other folks started embracing him once he became non-threatening. He wasn't a threat to you anymore. And I think his Parkinson's disease has a little bit to do with that. I think the fact that he doesn't, you don't necessarily see Muhammad Ali out and about speaking to a lot of the issues that are going on in America. You don't really see him speaking to a lot of these, and his disease has a lot to do with that. But folks were crying when Muhammad Ali was lighting the Olympic torch in Atlanta in 96. That was a very different Muhammad Ali that we saw in the 60s and 70s, who was whooping everybody's asses and was declaring himself the greatest ever to ever do it. And so, to be unapologetically black, to be who you are, to be confident in who you are, a lot of folks see that as a threat, man. They see that as a threat. And so to see Cam Newton saying, yo, man, I'm going to be who I am, and if you're going to stop me from doing my dances, if you're going to stop me from being who I am, if this bothers you so much, stop me from scoring touchdowns. That's how you do that, right? And I'm going to give a shout out to, and I'm going to play this clip here because I think he articulates this a hell of a lot better than I probably am right now and probably could, is Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark went on to ESPN's First Take, the show with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, and he spoke about the cultural issues that befall Cam Newton and how he's being perceived in America. So let me play this here real quick.
I think the end of his soundbite was excellent. I think it got started in a way that people are going to pick apart, because he spoke about being an African-American quarterback and being something that people have never seen. And I think that was what people could pick apart, because this is not about his athletic ability. It's not about the things he can do as a football player and on the football field. And
we have seen those things.
No, I'm not saying you have seen them, but that's not what people pick apart. People don't send him letters about jumping over the heads of Arizona Cardinals to score touchdowns. Okay. They like that.
Yeah.
So The hard part, Stephen A. knows this. I've been through it. When you come on as an African-American analyst or journalist and speak about race issues, they think you're always pointing to racism. This doesn't necessarily point to racism, but this does have something to do with race. It does have something to do with culture. It does have something to do with the expectation of Joe Fan thinking that the quarterback position is supposed to behave a certain way, which until this point, many of the black quarterbacks have bought into that as well. You look at RG3, when being compared to Cam early in his rookie year, what'd he say? I don't want to be compared to Cam. Why can't it be Steve Young or other white quarterbacks he named? Yep. Because he wanted to get away from that because he felt like that's how he needed to be accepted.
He did.
You look at quarterbacks and they think to themselves, I need to be more of a pocket presence now. That's because the typical quarterback, the Caucasian, the white quarterback has been that. And that's the perception. I was speaking to a woman in my training facility Monday who's married to a pro quarterback who's played 10 years in the league. Asked me about my picks. I said, yeah, I got both picks right. And says to herself, I didn't want Carolina to win because I don't like Cam. So I asked, why not? No answer that made any sense. She just said, I don't really know. He just rubs me the wrong way. And then she spoke to arrogance. And it makes me think of Aaron Rodgers as he thrusts his pelvis in, does the discount double check after every touchdown. Agreed. That's okay. Tom Brady running around screaming,
just
cursing.
Just out of his mind.
It's awesome. He's passionate. Rob Gronkowski with the dances and the spiking the ball. It's cool. But culturally, that's okay to the fan. That's okay to the masses, which for the most part,
yep,
though generationally and culturally, are older white people. And when you watch
can
it.
Can I, point of order,
yeah,
assume she was white?
Yes.
Okay, just for the record.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And so now when you see Cam dancing, you know why Cam dances? Because he can. Because it's part of his culture. Because people like Jeezy and Future come to his games. It's exciting to him. He has rhythm. He knows how. The reason Peyton Manning isn't dancing, you saw him dancing on that clip at practice. He's terrible. I've been around Russell Wilson, and people accept him in a different way from Cam because he doesn't behave that way culturally. And the other piece about the culture I want people to think about is, I've said many a times that Johnny Manziel is treated like a black quarterback. And here's why. When Johnny Manziel is videoed out, he's not on the stage in Vegas with a bunch of other white people around him drunk, flipping people like Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. He's drinking Ace of Spades, rapping March Madness by Future. When he's on the sideline or front row of a game, mm-hmm, in college, he wasn't with John Mayer. Mm-mm. He was with Drake. His celebration wasn't playing a guitar because John Mayer is his homeboy. It was the Drake sign. It was the money sign, right?
Yeah.
And so these things, when you don't embrace that culture, when you don't understand that culture, you now have a problem with it. You see it a different way. You see it as a way to be negative about a person. So it is about race in a sense, but it's more so about people not being able to understand or fit Cam in the box they want. Because it's okay for you to play receiver. It's okay for you to play cornerback like this, but not my precious quarterback, not my position that we've run forever. Speaking of white quarterbacks, you can't play that position like that. Bottom line, he wins, he leads, and I'm excited for him that he's came to say, you know what, when I look in the mirror, it's about being able to say nobody made me act a certain way. That was important to me. Nobody can say I'm living for them, because this is about the way he acts. This is about the way he lives. This is not about the way he plays football, and people have to get over that and accept him for who he is, because he's the MVP of this league, and not just the face of that organization, he's the face of this league moving forward, so you better get used to it.
All right. And yeah, like I said, I think Ryan Clark pretty much articulated that a hell of a lot better than I could have. And it's interesting in how we look at not only the game of football or even just that position, but it goes into that whole generational thing, right? I was talking about the generational aspect of how we look at things and how we perceive things as they have to be this way because this is what I've grown up with. Right. Your quarterback isn't supposed to be exuberant in that way. You expect that from your running backs. You expect that from your wide receivers. We always call wide receivers divas. We call cornerbacks divas. Right. But your quarterback is supposed to be the leader of the team, and he's supposed to purport himself in a certain way. And Cam Newton kind of pushes against that entire notion. You think about how black quarterbacks are always seen as running quarterbacks. That, you know, a lot of times you look at white quarterbacks and we talk about how well they operate within the pocket, how well they are able to go through their reads and how quickly they're able to go through their reads, how quick are they able to read the defense and make the right decision. And so when we look at black quarterbacks and we talk about their ability to run because they can't necessarily read the defense and figure out which one they're supposed to pass to, or better yet, where a black quarterback is seen as maturing when he becomes a pocket passer, right? He has to stay in the pocket. That's a sign of maturity. We saw that with Mike Vick, how, you know, after Mike Vick, you know, he's been on a few teams now, but we started seeing that how people were talking about how well Mike Vick sits in the pocket now because he can't necessarily run the way that he used to. And we started looking at that as a maturation of Mike Vick's process. No, that wasn't necessarily a maturation. That was a degeneration of Mike Vick's ability to run with the ball. And that's what facilitated that. And so it's always interesting to see not only the cultural aspect of how we look at this game, but also the racial aspect of how we look at this game and the generational aspect of how we look at this game, where Cam Newton, being exactly who he is from the time he came into the NFL to where he is now, and the way that he is and who he is as a person, is a problem for some folks. And unfortunately, it shouldn't be. I mean, it really shouldn't be. But of course, you won't please everybody, right? You can't live for everybody. And of course, Cam Newton spoke to that as well. But, you know, another thing that I wanted to talk about as we transition from Cam Newton, another thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that we're talking about generational things, right? And how we look at things generationally. And I want to segue that into how we talk about hip hop, right? How we look at hip hop, right? And so I came across this video. My boy, Mr. Gates, put up a video on Facebook, and it was this guy. He was about 35 years old. He was talking about how if you listen to some of the kids and talk to them about who they think are great rappers and who they listening to, it'll blow your mind, right? So this video went viral. He's got quite a few thousand hits on this video. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull this video up real quick. He's got over, wait, let me look. He's got 482,000 views to this video, right? And he's speaking to the generational gap as it relates to hip hop and what's good hip hop and what isn't. And I'm going to go ahead and play this now.
So I just had an interesting conversation. Had a conversation with my young homies about the state of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? It was a great. Yo, if you're an older cat like me, I'm not that old. I'm 35 years old. But if you older and you into 90s hip hop, I have a conversation with some younger dudes, like between the ages of like 18 to 25, and ask them who their favorite rappers is. It'll blow your mind. But you know what? At the same time, I don't really knock them because things change. If I talk to my mother, she'd probably be like, oh, Grandmaster Flash or Big Daddy Kane or somebody. And I look at her like she's crazy. You know what I mean? Because we got to adapt to change. Things change.
All right. Now, he seems to understand this. He seems to understand that things change. Another thing, too, I thought was pretty interesting about this video. What is up with everybody, like, doing videos while they're driving? That isn't exactly the safest shit in the world to do. And as somebody who drives big trucks and who works in a construction zone where people do have to drive through that, that shit's kind of annoying. Stop doing that shit.
All right, I get that. But here's the thing. If they grow up listening to Young Thug and Rich Homie Quan and Future, and that's what they grew up to, then I can't knock them. But at the same time, I can tell them what's wrong with the fuck they listen to. My thing is not so much the lyrics of these guys, you know what I'm saying? Because most of these guys are garbage. I mean, all of them are lyrically garbage. You know what I mean? Young Thug is garbage. Future is garbage. Chief Keef is garbage. You know what I mean? The only ones I do like a little bit, I like the Migos a little bit because they're different. I do like them. They're garbage too, but I like them. You know what I'm saying? Young Thug is a fucking weirdo. All of them's weird. You do got some new school dudes that are following hip hop, the standard, like J. Cole and Big Sean and Kendrick Lamar, even Drake. You know, you got those dudes who are still lyrical.
All right. Another point of interest. This emphasis on guys who are lyrical and guys who follow this this tradition, so to speak, as he would probably put it. It's interesting that he would focus on Because he said he grew up in the 90s, right? He a lot of cats look at the 90s as the golden era of hip hop. And not only that, a lot of guys tend to romanticize hip hop from the 90s. I can remember a time where the Ghetto Boys were considered a groundbreaking group. I grew up loving the fucking Ghetto Boys, right? A lot of people to this day consider Scarface one of the best to ever do it, right? But at the same time, you had Bushwick Bill a part of that group. You had Willie D a part of that group. Willie D gave you Bald Head Hoes. That was one of the worst fucking tracks ever. As a matter of fact, hold on. Let me just pull this up real quick. Because I want people to understand, right, that we can't keep romanticizing what our music was. We had bullshit rap too, right? We can't keep acting as if we didn't have our bullshit rap. We had 69 Boys. We had Luke Skywalker. We had 2 Live Crew. We had, Eazy-E wasn't the greatest rapper in the world. Hell, as a matter of fact, he wasn't even a fucking rapper. Cube was writing a lot of his shit. But Eazy-E was a garbage fucking rapper. So we're gonna go right back. We're going to pull up Willie D real quick. Because I need to make this point. Bald Head Hoes. Right? Now, I want you guys to listen to this shit. I think this came out in 1992.
Ha ha! Y'all thought this was Dragon, didn't you? Wrong ass again. This song is for all the motherfucking chicken head bitches. And we kept the motherfucking names the same, cause we think being a bald head bitch is a goddamn shame. What the fuck is going on in this goddamn world? What are you, bitch? A boy, a girl? I can't tell cause your shit on the sides are gone. You remind me of that monkey looking bitch Grace Jones. Fucked up is how you look to Willie D. I just gotta have a bitch that has more hair than me. Some try to cover up by weaving it through. You ain't fooling nobody, we know you're bald headed too. Bald head ho.
What you see, D?
I see some bald head hoes.
All right, that's enough of that shit. 57 seconds in, that's enough of that shit, right? But that's kind of what we grew up with, too. We had garbage hip-hop, too. We had shit that we thought was this shit, too, back in 92, back in 96, back in 98. We had bullshit, too. But, again, like I said, a lot of guys tend to romanticize this shit. But I'm gonna let this guy continue.
Here's my big problem with hip hop that I was explaining to them. Now, you got the dudes from the 90s, right? These dudes came from the street and they rapped about where they came from and what they did. Most of them sold drugs and they lyrically rapped about it. You can feel what they were saying. You know what I'm saying? Not that I promote selling drugs, but at the same time, I get it. I get why a lot of these guys had to sell drugs and they were drug dealers. Y'all young dudes, you know what y'all generation is now? Junkies. Y'all generation is drug users.
All right. Now, another thing. DMX, big rapper in the 90s, a little bit towards the early 2000s. We just saw DMX on Ayanna Van Zant's Fix My Life. And he was trying to repair his relationship with his son because DMX has been addicted to drugs for a long motherfucking time. We've seen Pimp C, who was also part of UGK, die. You know what I'm saying? We've seen who's another drug addict? Scarface, even the great Scarface. If you read Scarface's autobiography, he tells you about a lot of his early drug use. So it's one of these things, man. Again, like I said, we romanticize our youth. To the point where we start forgetting some of the bullshit that was happening. And we think that what we grew up with was the greatest shit ever. And we've seen this happen before. Like, if you ask somebody who's deep into R&B, like, if you try to compare Trey Songz to Al Green, they'll look at you fucking crazy. Right? Now, these kids may listen to Trey Songz. But your granddaddy ain't listening to no motherfucking Trey Songz. He's listening to Al Green. But continue.
You were a drug-using rapper back in the days. We made fun of you. If you did anything outside of weed, you got ridiculed for that shit. Nowadays, we got all of these drug-infused lyrics, this music, and y'all love that shit. I cannot stand behind the music of a drug addict. You feel me? Obviously, you're stupid. You know what I'm saying? This is the dumbest shit they do. Lean. Promethazine. That's that cough syrup shit. Codeine. I can name a couple of people, industry guys, who died from that shit. Pimp C from UGK. Who else died from that shit? Pimp C died. ASAP Yams died from that shit. DJ Screw died from that shit. Another dude out in Houston, some big fat dude. His name, matter of fact, the name of his album was like Purple Music or something like that. You dudes promote drug usage. And this is what's cool nowadays. This is what's fucked about this generation. You know what I'm saying? Even if you think about strippers, back in the 90s, if you were a stripper, you were not telling anybody. You were low about it. You stripped way outside of your neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like strippers, it was a ridiculous thing to do. It was humiliating. Nowadays, when you're a stripper, it's glorified. Not that I'm hating on the strippers. I love me a stripper.
Sure you do.
But at the same time, society actually praises this shit. You know what I mean? Just like society praises these drug using rappers. You know what I mean? Obviously, these dudes are dumb. Like, when you listen to rappers from back in the 90s, they had something to talk about. These guys were smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, Big was a smart dude. Jay-Z's a smart dude. These are intelligent people. You listen to Future and Lil Wayne and Young Thug. These dudes are dumbasses. They're dumb. You know what I'm saying? How you going to promote a dude who wears women clothing? Who he wears women's clothing?
Let's see. We've got Prince, we've got Dr. Dre, we've got Kanye West, we've got a lot of guys. As a matter of fact, like, you think back even to the 90s, man, how tight jeans were a thing. Run DMC wore tight jeans if they weren't wearing an Adidas tracksuit, right? They wore tight jeans. LL Cool J, if you go back and you look at a lot of the fashions that a lot of the guys were wearing back in the day, a lot of that shit was a little form-fitting. A lot of them dudes didn't wear shirts and they had leather jackets on. You know what I mean? Like, this thing isn't new. But again, we romanticize our youth.
Like, really? Like, all of these dudes would have got stomped out back in the 90s. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, back in my era, like, men were men. Like, it's crazy. But, yo, like I was saying, if you want to have a conversation about music, go talk to some younger cats and see what their thought process is. Their thought process is crazy. One of them dudes told me Soulja Boy makes good music. I was like, what?
He lying. Ain't nobody listening to Soulja Boy, and I don't know how fucking long. Soulja Boy ain't came out with no music, and I don't know how fucking long. One of the things about Love and Hip Hop, the whole Love and Hip Hop series, is like, yo, all these motherfuckers talk about them being in the studio. Where the goddamn music at? Ain't nobody told this nigga that Soulja Boy makes good music. He lying.
He was like, Soulja Boy is one of his best rappers. He said Young Thug is in the top three. Wow. Y'all young dudes are fucked. Straight up.
All right. Now, that video is done. But again, like I said, it goes back into the whole romanticization of it, right? How we look at our little section of what we grew up with, and that's the greatest shit ever, right? Now, it's interesting because we are of the age now. Like, this guy said he's 35. I'm 35 also. But we are of the age now to where we see a lot of dudes become those uncles that used to wag their finger at the shit that we was doing, right? You used to listen to Nas, and your uncle would probably say, hey, man, why don't you put this Teddy P on? Why are you listening to that rap garbage, right? I remember there was a time when hip-hop was looked at as a fad, that it wasn't going to last this long, right? And so you got a lot of the people who grew up with hip-hop, and they got their own section of hip-hop that they gravitate towards, right? So if LL Cool J is what my uncles thought was hard back in the day, because it was a time before LL Cool J became this actor that everybody knows now. There was a time where LL Cool J was seen as a pretty hard individual, right? If I told them that, yo, man, LL Cool J was soft because I was listening to Tupac, or I was listening to the Ghetto Boys, or I was listening to Ice Cube, they looking at me like, nigga, you crazy, right? They ain't talking about nothing but shooting. They ain't talking about throwing them hands, though, right? So we start romanticizing our shit. And it's another thing, too, man. We have to understand this as we get older, right? As we get older, we have to understand this. it's all right that the music ain't for you anymore, right? It's all right that the shit that's coming out now isn't made with your ass in mind. The music was geared towards a younger audience, right? So again, like if I go back and I start listening to some old Tupac, I'm listening to it because, yo, that music means something to me. This is something that I grew up with. This is something that I have a nostalgic connection to. But some of this new shit out here, and I'm like, eh, it ain't for me. And I think that's what a lot of us older cats got to kind of get into our heads, man. Like, this shit ain't for me, man. They didn't make this shit with me in mind. I'm not necessarily sitting around in the club trying to holler at chicks no more. That ain't what I do no more. That's not my MO. I used to do that. I don't do that no more. So I couldn't necessarily relate to what this dude's your little game may be now. Being an old guy in the club ain't what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, just recognizing that. Just recognizing that I'm in a different space in my life. And it's weird that he would mention, like, even so much of Jay-Z. I remember a lot of folks were talking about, well, Jay-Z doesn't talk about the streets anymore. And even if he does talk about the streets, like, why are you talking about that? Because that's not what you do anymore. That's not your life anymore. I know a lot of folks talk about Eminem in much the same way. Like, his music is different now than it was when he first came out. Like, these guys are different. You know why these guys are different? Because they're not living the same fucking life that they were then. They've grown the fuck up in many different ways. Like Ice Cube, we see Ice Cube in Disney movies. We see Ice Cube doing family movies. Ice Cube was the hardest fucking gangster we knew in 92. Right? Ice Cube ain't that guy no more. And so for us to expect the music to continue to be what it was when we were kids is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. And it goes again to those old head dudes, man. We wagging our fingers. We wagging our fingers at the young cats like, yo, man, you don't know nothing about no music, boy. Let me tell you what you need to be listening to, boy. You need to put that young Al Green down, boy. You don't know nothing about that, boy. You become that dude. You become your uncle with the bold-ass sandals over the grill talking shit, right? And that's what this dude is now, man. It's like, come on, man. Like, leave these kids alone. Let them have their shit in the same way that we had our shit. We got a whole generation's worth of music to listen to. Sometimes I can listen to, I can appreciate some like Al Green and some, and like Isley Brothers and shit. I get in my car, sometimes I drive home from work and that shit be banging, son. That's what I listen to now. Like, hell, even if I do listen to some of this new shit, some of this new shit sounds good to me and I can roll with it, but all of it doesn't. But at the same time, I can't sit here and just be like, hey, man, y'all don't know what the hell y'all talking about. All the shit y'all listening to is dumb. Hey, we listen to a lot of dumb shit, too. 69 Boys went platinum, Sue. Like, Jermaine Dupri went platinum with his own rap albums, man. We've had whack rappers do their thing. Hammer famously had $30 million. Hammer was whack. He was all over the place. But we romanticize the shit and act as if all of that bum shit that we had, all that garbage shit that we had didn't exist. So, I mean, yeah, it is what it is, man. But, yeah, old head hip hop logic, man. We got to leave that shit alone, man. Real talk. But I kind of want to segue into something that was a little bit more serious because this is also something that I've been speaking to quite often lately. And I think it's become one of my pet issues. And it's a story about Janice Talton Jackson. And this was a sister who had been killed because she would not reciprocate the advances of I couldn't even necessarily call this dude a gentleman, of a dude who wanted to get with her. She told him no, and he killed her. So here's the story here. Hopefully they don't try to play a commercial on my shit.
Which hat do you wear?
And they are.
As a small business owner, you wear many, so you need all the clarity you can get. Introducing the CBS Small Business Pulse. Tips.
Yeah, let's just wait for that shit to go on past.
Of a woman early this morning. Sources tell KDKA the victim is the sister of a state lawmaker. Bob Allen has more.
Police say the victim, 29-year-old Janice Jackson Talton, was approached by the suspect just before closing at Cliff's Bar at North Lang and Upland Streets. Police believe they were acquainted, but she ignored his advances.
The suspect followed the victim outside, whereupon he pulled out a firearm and shot the victim in the chest.
Janice Jackson Talton died from a gunshot wound to the chest. Police were alerted to the shooting by the shot spotter. Officers found the victim and later saw a car speeding away. During a traffic stop, they got out to approach the vehicle, but the suspect took off when he heard talk about the shooting on police radios.
While they're out on foot, they have their radios on, and once that announcement is made, that's about the time that he took off.
During the pursuit, police fired several shots into the suspect's car. He was chased all the way to McNary Boulevard in Wilkinsburg, where he eventually crashed and was taken into custody. Police discovered the suspect had minor gunshot wounds to the forehead and wrist, and they found a weapon. Even though the city's high-speed pursuit policy has been changed, Assistant Chief Stan Grecke says this one was justified.
In this case here, we had a suspect fleeing from the scene of a homicide, and our policy permits us to engage in a pursuit.
The suspect was taken to the hospital and will likely face homicide and other charges. We've since learned that the victim, Janice Jackson Talton, is the sister of State Representative Ed Gainey. As for the officers who fired shots into the suspect's car, they're on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Bob Allen, KDKA, TV News.
All right. Now, you know, first of all, I want to say rest in peace to Janice Talton Jackson, man. It's unfortunate to hear yet another story of a sister being taken out because she didn't want to talk to a guy, right? And we had a story, I want to say maybe a year ago, of that happening right here in Detroit, where a young lady was leaving a party in Detroit and the dude tried to talk to her and she wasn't trying to, you know, she wasn't feeling him. And he took her out as well, right? And it goes to the whole thing that I've been trying to really impart upon my listeners and anybody who just like listens to my voice, right? That, you know, we have to get into these conversations about our attitudes towards women, especially for dudes, right? We have to get into these. We have to have these conversations about our attitudes towards women. There's a sense of ownership that comes with that, right? A dude feels as if he's owed sex from her, that she owes it to him to have some sort of interest in him. You hear a lot of guys talk about them being a nice guy. You know, I'm a nice dude, man. Like, the chicks always put nice guys in the friend zone and all these other things, man. Well, if you really were a nice guy, I don't know anybody who doesn't think they're a nice guy. Every dude I know thinks he's a nice guy and he's being unduly put into the friend zone or whatever else. And that a woman has to succumb to his advances in order for her to not meet the demise, so to speak, that, you know, this sister here did. But it's one of those things, man, where I'm going to keep talking about it. And I know a lot of folks think I'm beating a dead horse with this, but this is one of the things where, like, as men, because especially as black men, I feel is very important. When we talk about our community, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, when we talk about how we are to conduct ourselves, I find it odd how so many brothers tend to think that having these sort of discussions are beneath us, that having these sort of discussions takes away from our focus on what the white man is doing to us. Or any of those things, especially when we talk about accountability, right? Because as someone who is a Black Lives Matter proponent, right, I support the Black Lives Matter movement. A lot of people would tell me, well, hey, man, what are we doing in our own communities, man? Like, Black Lives gotta matter to us before it matter to anybody else. I totally agree with you to some degree. I can't say totally agree. To some degree, I agree with you. Right? So when we start talking about holding folks accountable for the shit that they do, some of that is holding dudes accountable for this shit right here. For having conversations with our sons, having conversations with our brothers and our uncles and everybody else when it comes towards our attitudes when it deals with women. We got a lot of fucked up attitudes when it comes to women. We just do. I got some emails that kind of go into that whole thing too that I'm gonna address later. We got a lot of fucked up attitudes regarding women and how we're to respond to women, how we're to act to women, how we're to court women, because this was this dude's idea of courting. I read a story, as a matter of fact, where is it? I thought I had it. It's not up. But the story was talking about how this guy, McKinney, I think his name was Charles McKinney, that's his name, 41-year-old dude, Charles McKinney, how he put his dick up on her ass and she was like, yo, man, chill, and pushed him away, and pushed him away. And that the thing that resulted in her being shot was he tried it again as she was getting in the car and she pushed him away again, and that's when he shot her in the chest. Right? We have to have these discussions about our attitude towards women and how we are to protect women, how we are to interact with them, and how we're to talk to the dudes who do this type of shit. Right? A couple weeks ago, my daughter, just bringing it home, my daughter, 12 years old, some little dude exposed himself to her at school. Right? Now, I don't know where he may have gotten it from. I don't know what he thought was going to happen with my daughter. I don't know why he thought that would have even been okay. But y'all know what I wanted to do. And y'all know exactly what a lot of y'all would have wanted to do if your daughter was befallen with the same sort of shit. Y'all would have wanted to string his little ass up, right? Not my baby. Not mine. These are the conversations that we need to have with our sons, man, with our daughters, not our daughters, with our young men. These are the conversations that we need to have. That this isn't how you behave around a female or around a woman, around a young lady. This isn't how you conduct yourself. And no, hounding her into submission isn't the way to do it. That's not how you roll. Respect her no as much as you would want your no to be respected by anybody else. And so I'm sick of having to have these discussions with folks, right? Because it's one of those things that we're like, even sometimes women, man, sometimes women can kind of promote misogyny too. You know, like even when we talk about Bill Cosby, man, sometimes a lot of women be like, well, hey, these women wanted this type of attention and everything else. They would project a lot of the things that they particularly would want for themselves upon others, right? These are conversations that are sorely needed, man, to where we're not talking about a Janice Talton Jackson being killed because she didn't want a dude talking to her. Street harassment is a real thing, as much as many niggas would try to tell you it isn't. Tariq Nasheed would probably tell you it isn't. Tariq Nasheed has also told your ass that Facebook owns your pictures, and if you go to the goddamn terms of service on Facebook, no, they don't own your pictures, dog. But so many people listen to voices like that, and we're not holding each other accountable. And that's pretty much where I want to go with this. We got to hold each other accountable for things like this. We got to talk to our brothers, our uncles, our fathers, our nephews. We got to talk to each other, man, and keep each other in check when it comes to things like this. That's what we should be doing. Maybe I am beating a dead horse. I probably am. But you know what? I'm going to continue to speak to this shit. Because it's a conversation that's sorely needed. Right? But, yeah. Moving on. We're going to talk about our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And this week's ass hat of the week is none other than Martin Shkreli. Now, I don't know if anybody or if all of you guys are aware of who Martin Shkreli is, but he is the he's the venture capitalist, I want to say he is, who bought an AIDS treatment drug that was normally selling for about $13 per pill and jacked the price up to about $750 per pill, right? This guy is he's already been arrested for securities fraud by the FBI, right? He's also the owner of the Wu-Tang album. I think they made only one album, and they sold the album for $2 million. There was only one copy of it. And he sold the album They sold the album for $2 million. Martin Shkreli is the one who bought the album, right? Now, of course, a lot of folks aren't necessarily happy with the fact that it's Martin Shkreli who owns this album. Ghostface Killah is one of those people who didn't necessarily appreciate the fact that Martin Shkreli bought the album. And so TMZ caught up with Ghostface, asked him about it, and he pretty much said, like, yo, man, I don't appreciate the guy. You know, like, he didn't like the guy based on the news that he had heard of him, right? Like, yo, man, he took the price of the AIDS treatment drug, and he jacked the price up. That's not what you do. That's not kosher. That ain't cool. And he said so, right? Martin Shkreli, Weasley-looking-ass Martin Shkreli, made a video threatening Ghostface Killah. Check this out.
Dennis, I'm going to call you by your government name.
Oh, slap.
You're not a Ghostface Killah. I'm sorry. In fact, you know, most people don't ever try to beef with me. Do you know why?
What do you guys think?
They ain't stupid.
Nobody's that dumb. Every one of my enemies, they try to stay anonymous. They try to stay out because, you know, it's just one of these things where, for whatever reason, you think it's okay to beef with me. But that's a big mistake. You know, at the end of the day, I'm very sorry for you. You're an old man. You're an old man that's lost his relevance, and you're trying to reclaim the spotlight from my spotlight. That's not going to work, Ghost. Dennis. In fact, I think that if you ever say some dumb shit again, this album, this Shaolin, I'm going to erase all your shit from this album.
Right here, man.
I'm going to erase you from the record books of rap. You're going to be done. You're my son. You have to listen to me. I butter your bread. You understand me?
You'll be a ghost for real, motherfucker.
Without you, without me, you're nothing. And so even though I pity you, I have to give you some punishment. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let this slide. I expect you to write me a written apology from the heart. Some contrition, some long letter where you explain your sorrow and sadness for what you've done.
This not a friend's neither, motherfucker.
Crayons. And, you know, you think you're the only tough guy from New York City? I'm sorry, but you don't know us. We saw your boy kill a priest. We saw him getting pitched for what was it, 10 kilos of cocaine?
Like
some of that China white. And what did he do, Todd?
He's copping pleas like a little bitch to the police. He ain't even got no damn year sentence to his ass.
Yeah.
Copping pleas.
I've got kids.
We all got kids out this motherfucker.
And you're crying to the Jake right away. Why is that? Why are your goons not as hard as mine?
Lift up your skirt, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, look, Ghost, stop pretending, stop acting, stop lying. Be real, as your video once said. And don't ever mention my name again.
Ever.
Or there'll be more of a price to pay than just this video. I'm out.
All right, man. That was some comical shit to watch, right? And I know you guys didn't watch it, but that video is available on thespanreport.com on this episode, so you guys can go ahead and check that out for yourself if and when need be. But yeah, man, that's that's funny, man. Like, you would think that like somebody who listens to Wu-Tang, who has spent $2 million to own a Wu-Tang album, would know that, like, Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with. Like, that's just Wu-Tang law number one or some shit. Like, that ain't what you want to do. And so, you know, one of the things I was thinking about as I was watching this, like, I remember when Ghostface, like, I want to say last summer, got into it with somebody else. I want to say it was Action Bronson. Ghostface had a response to some shit that Action Bronson said a little bit sideways, man. And I'm wondering if he would come back and do a video, something similar to this right here, man.
Please, no, now, before you take your coat off, that's it.
Hey, yo.
I've got something to tell you, see?
You know, let me talk to you, it's like,
why is it every time we go out of the town to get
you
around
you got this little fake-ass nigga,
man, you're always
Action Bronson, running around, sounding like me.
But
I want to tell this little fat fuck something.
How much money I made?
I gave you a grace period, nigga.
And what?
I supposed to destroy you a long time ago. You go on Sports Nation, kicking that shit, acting like, yo, you the nigga, and like, where I'm at? First of all, you little fat fuck, Who gives you the right to even mention my name out your motherfucking mouth? Bro, you done made a mistake, boy. You done fucked up, man. You know what I mean? Because listen, man, you can never fuck with my pen, my nigga. My sword, my blade, whatever you want to call it. I'm too nasty for you. This is why the fuck you look up to me and sound like me. When I told y'all niggas back in the Cuban Link shit, I don't want nobody sound like me on no album. You know what?
She used to say, son, the chances go round.
You hear what this nigga said?
She said, the same people that you meet growing up.
Uh-huh.
You make the same old faces.
That's right. And that's your fat, funky ass, nigga. You know what I mean? But let me tell you something. Your fans, those are my fans first. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not making this a black or white thing, my nigga. I'm making this a ghost action Bronson thing. You know what I mean? You don't come out your mouth using my name on how you want to use it. Just because the spotlight is in your face, my nigga. The microphone is in your face. You know what I mean? You have to learn how to watch what you say. I guess you never been taught that. Because you're not a real nigga. You walk around the club with no shoes on. Big ass beard that one day I might set that shit on fire. Just for fucking saying my name, B. Let me tell you something, man. Doing 25 years for a nigga in rap music, my nigga, with babies, it don't really sound too good, right? But I got shooters that'll do that. And them shooters is not from New York, nigga. I don't think you really know the magnitude of this shit right here, because there's a lot of y'all young niggas that like to play games, B. You know what I mean? And then when you get touched, y'all start running to the fucking police, B. You know what I mean? But let me tell you something. I seen a lot of faces, been a lot of places, nigga. I got those kind of niggas that'll do disappearing acts on motherfuckers for nothing in all states. So I'm just telling you, brother, I know the tour schedule, man.
All right. I can't play the whole thing, man. This is 6 minutes and 30 seconds long. I can't play the whole thing. But that is also available on thespanreport.com, man. Check that old video out, man. It was Ghostface going at Action Bronson, but I swear that shit applies so much to this whole Martin Shkreli shit. Man, look, I could just like substitute Action Bronson's name and put in Martin Shkreli's name, and it's pretty much the same goddamn video, right? Ghostface talking over some old ass R&B dissing the nigga, right? So that's what I would expect a Ghostface diss to Martin Shkreli would probably sound like, right? Unless, of course, he catches that dude by himself for real. Because I don't necessarily think that those guys that were standing behind Martin Shkreli really like Martin Shkreli. I think the money is like, okay, we could put on some mask and shit like that and hide our face while we talk shit behind this white boy who's talking shit to Ghost. Like, again, I would love to see like a true Ghostface response to this. I would. But because Martin Shkreli, the shithead who bought that Wu-Tang album for $2 million, and also, add to that, he jacked up the price of that AIDS treatment pill for up to 5,000% over what it was originally charged for, Martin Shkreli is the asshat of the week this week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. Now, of course, we also have a champ of the week. All right, now, the champ of the week this week is none other than noted astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? Of course, you guys have probably heard that there was a bit of a beef. So many odd beefs happening in 2016, right? That there was a bit of a beef between Neil deGrasse Tyson, and rapper B.O.B. Now, B.O.B. kind of reminds me of one of those guys. He's almost on some Lupe shit, right? Like, he's one of those dudes who's, like, probably read so much that he's confused himself, right? And of course, he said something really ridiculous this week. He asserted that the world was flat, right? And which is funny on his, like, on its surface is funny, right? Because, like, one of my favorite saying is, like, there was once a time that the people that people thought that the world was flat. We know that not to be true now, don't we? Like, that's always been, like, one of my favorite quotes, right? And so, like, to see B.O.B., like, you're like, nah, nigga, for real, the world is flat. And then argue, go back and forth with an astrophysicist, right? To go back and forth with an astrophysicist on whether or not the world is flat or not was a little funny. And so they went back and forth on Twitter. They also even got so far as to hitting the booth and going back and forth on diss tracks, right? B.O.B. launched the first attack. B.O.B. came out with the song Flatline featuring Neil deGrasse Tyson. Hold on. Here it is.
Yeah, you ain't seen my best. Checkmate in a game of chess. Globalists see me as a threat. Free thinking, got a world at my neck. Ha! Huh? Am I paranoid? Picture Malcolm X in a room full of bigs trying not to bust a sweat. Hey, Neil Tyson need to loosen up his vest. They probably write that man one hell of a check. Hey, I'm over here on this side of town. Come on over here, try to clown. I'd never pipe down. If they weren't coming for me, then they definitely coming for me now. I can't even keep my phone charged up. All the shit I'm talking, I should get my own barred up. Rappers, get off of my dick and get your own bars up. Vladimir and Liz's breath got the clone skirt, cuz whoop. Use your common sense. Why is NASA part Department of Defense? They divided up the seas into 33 degrees, feeding kids masonry, bruh. Be careful what you read. Flatline, flatline. There's no superior bloodline. Flatline, flatline. You got me once, but that died. Ayy, voice. Do I have a voice? Do I give a fuck? Do I have a choice? Joint. I roll up a joint. Keep my shooters in the game like I hate to disappoint. I see only good things on the horizon. That's probably why the horizon is always rising. Indoctrinated in a cult called science. And graduated to a club full of liars. Heliocentrism, you were the sixth victim. Fuck you and your team, you can sit on the bench with them, they nervous. But before you try to curve it, do your research on David Irving. Stalin was way worse than Hitler. That's why the POTUS gotta wear a kippa. I'm a man first for an artist. Get a lawyer, look up Dr. Richard Sarda. Bounce. Flatline. You fooled us for the last time. Flatline. Flatline. There's no superior bloodline. Yeah.
So you want to find the farthest point from that center. And it turns out sea level at the equator is farther away from the center of the Earth than sea level near the poles. It has nothing to do with global warming and melting of the ice caps.
Why is that?
Because Earth, we know it spins once a day. Yes, thank you. Three people know how long a day last year.
Good for row number two. They're off to a great start.
So you spin, you know, when you spin pizza dough, it kind of flattens out.
Yeah.
It gets wider in the middle. And so Earth, throughout its life, even when it formed, it was spinning. And it got a little wider at the equator than it does at the poles. So it's not actually a sphere. It's oblate. And officially it's an oblate spheroid. That's what we call it. But not only that, it's slightly wider below the equator than above the equator.
A little chubbier. Yeah.
Chubby's a good word. It's like pear-shaped.
Yeah.
So it turns out the pear-shapedness is bigger than the height of Mount Everest above sea level.
Bounce, flatline. You fooled us for the last time. Flatline, flatline. There's no superior bloodline. Dead.
All right, now, remember what I said. It's like B.O.B. has read so much that he's confused himself, right? In this rap, he says there's a cult called science. And it kind of speaks to, you know, how like people think that just because information came from an alternative source that it holds more weight than somewhat with what someone would call a mainstream news source, right? That you're being someone would assert that you are being brainwashed by mainstream media because you believe this thing that we all know is common knowledge. And because I have this knowledge from this alternative source, that means I'm more enlightened than you are. And because I hold this as more valuable information than what would have probably came from mainstream media, this information is more valuable because you guys aren't necessarily aware of it, or you don't hold it as high as I do. And I'm more enlightened because I know about this and you don't, right? It's one of those things, right? He said something about Stalin being worse than Hitler, and I don't know what the fuck that has to do with the world being flat, right? But it's one of those things, man. Was like, you can go on the internet and find anything to validate your point of view. That's the only thing that I think is like, that's one of the biggest things that I think is wrong with the internet, is like, kooks have found a place to validate themselves. Right, they're always going to be groups of people who gravitate towards the same thing. But when it comes to like someone of, I wouldn't necessarily call B.O.B. someone of an influencer, because I don't listen to B.O.B., but that doesn't necessarily mean somebody else may not. But when you have a platform and people listen to you and people kind of look to what it is that you think about certain things, B.O.B. saying this type of stupid shit can be a bit problematic, right? It's in much the same way that, like I said, with Tariq Nasheed, where he tells his listeners this week that Facebook owns your pictures and all you have to do is go into the terms of service and find out that that's not necessarily true. But a lot of folks ain't gonna do that because they hold what this person says in high regard. They trust what this person says, in much the same way that B.O.B.'s listeners trust what he says, right? So, of course, we know that the world isn't flat, right? And Neil deGrasse Tyson, noted astrophysicist known around the world, speaks a lot on in pop culture. He's a guest on he was a guest on Bill Maher, guest on The Daily Show, guest on The Nightly Show. Neil deGrasse Tyson not only responded to this on Twitter, but actually had his own diss track made up, man. Check this out.
Flat Earth is a problem only when people in charge think that way. No law stops you from regressively basking in it.
He learned the game from Carl Sagan. You can never check him. You say the earth is flat and then you try to disrespect him. I'm bringing facts to combat a silly theory, because B.O.B. has gotta know the planet is a sphere, G. Whoa. Very important that I clear this up. You say that Neil's vest is what he needs to loosen up. What? And he's a mason because the brother's getting paid. When the ignorance you're spitting helps to keep people enslaved, I mean mentally. You gon' make me go insane. I've already stepped out of the fast lane. You the donkey of the day. I ain't waiting for Charlemagne. And all them strange clouds must be messing with your brain. I ain't waiting for days, Bob. I'm right here. I got science in my corner and there's nothing to fear. I'm not sure what it was that really made you think that you could disrespect the Tyson and your ship won't sink. I mean, whoa. Can't fool the people, Bob. They know what's up. I'm in the Hayden Planetarium getting shoulder rubs. I think it's very clear that Bobby didn't lead enough. And he's believing all this conspiracy theory stuff. Are these all of your thoughts or is the loud talking? I'm a high flyer, but you must be cloud walking. And I know Bobby Ray's a great musician with intelligence to say some better shit than what he's written. Dang. Yeah, guitar strings turned to Twitter thing. Yeah, you getting bodied by a young king. I'm far from famous, but I got an education. And I'm putting it to use to make a better nation. I'm making sure you get it when it's said and done. Because the track is just a one of one. I could make another one and then another one. The DJ Khaled of teaching Bobby about the sun. Bobby Ray's thinking that flat is fact. Yeah, that flat is fact. Bobby Ray's thinking that flat is fact. Yeah, but we'll go from flat to fact. I don't want to hear about this ever again. Not even when this ends and we're better as friends. Not even when the sand Tyson tell him again. And we'll put you on a show to make a sellout event. Whoa, what about the change of seasons? The planet spins around the sun, do you need more reasons? It's very clear you're rapping for fame, while I represent the culture and the spirit we claim. I mean, please, check them for a while or earpiece, please. Is Donald Trump the one that's feeding you all of these? Stupid bits of information keeps you on your knees. I know we got freedom of speech, but Bobby, please. Somebody stop this, or call the drop squad, because they got this.
and maybe they can pick up Stacey's Dash too. So if you're ignorant, here's what they gon' ask. They gon' ask if you can play this track back to back. Yeah, it's going back to back. I had to help Bobby go from flat to fat. Took a break from my debut and now it's back to that.
Dude, to be clear, being 5 centuries regressed in your reasoning doesn't mean we all can't still like your music.
All right. Now, the funny thing about this is he didn't stop there. Neil deGrasse Tyson also took his ass on The Nightly Show and addressed this shit too, man. Check this out.
Looks like we've got ourselves a code red science emergency. So I'm going to have to do something I rarely do. I got to hit the science panic button.
Science Emergency Defense Program initiated. Science Emergency Defense Program initiated.
Oh my God.
Science Emergency Defense Program initiated.
I'm trying to eat my dinner. I got your distress call. Is everything okay?
No, Neil, everything is not okay. This BLB BS about the Earth being flat is getting out of control. Can you please help us?
All right, hold my sandwich.
Oh, sure. Okay, I'm
sorry.
Here, you take that. Here, you want to eat? Oh. Oh. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, good.
All right, listen, BLB, once and for all. The Earth looks flat because, one, you're not far enough away at your size. Two, your size isn't large enough relative to Earth to notice any curvature at all. It's a fundamental fact of calculus and non-Euclidean geometry. Small sections of large curved surfaces will always look flat to little creatures that crawl upon it. But this whole thing, it's just a symptom of a larger problem. There's a growing anti-intellectual strain in this country. It may be the beginning of the end of our informed democracy. Of course, in a free society, you can and should think whatever you want. And if you want to think the world is flat, go right ahead. But if you think the world is flat and you have influence over others, as would successful rappers or even presidential candidates, then being wrong becomes being harmful to the health, the wealth, and the security of our citizenry. Discovery and exploration got us out of the caves, and each generation benefits from what previous generations have learned. Isaac Newton, my man, said, If I have seen farther than others, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. I get an amen. Woo. So that's right, B.O.B. When you stand on the shoulders of those who came before, you might just see far enough to realize the Earth isn't flat. And by the way, this is called gravity.
Yeah, man. Like, the fact that Neil deGrasse Tyson went out of his way to respond to this shit, man. Neil deGrasse Tyson is this week's Spare Report Champ of the Week, man. Real talk. Oh shit. Oh man. Yeah, that happened. But we're not done yet. I got another segment here. This is a new segment. And one of the things, you know what, before I even move on, you know, it kind of reminds me, like, because I'm a Freemason, right? Span's a Freemason. We, you know, this should be known by if you listen to this podcast and if you've watched the Spare Report channel long enough to know, yeah, that is me. I've been a Freemason since I was like, what, 24 or something like that. So going on like 12 years or some shit like that. Long time. And I remember having so many different discussions about Freemasonry with a lot of people who weren't Freemasons talking to me about what Freemasonry really is, and they aren't Freemasons, and trying to tell me what Freemasonry is. And it goes, and this is sort of like a similar thing. Like, I would look really foolish talking to a neurosurgeon about neurosurgery and the tactics and the procedures that they use and how they do their job. I would look really silly criticizing them on how they do their job and talking to them about the nuances of how they do their job And I myself wasn't a neurosurgeon. In much the same way that B.O.B. looks really foolish talking to a noted astrophysicist about how the Earth is flat and only coming to him with his ideas of what astrophysicism and how it relates to the Earth works. Looks really foolish. In much the same way that someone who's not a Freemason is going to talk to a Freemason about what Freemasonry really is. Looks really fucking foolish, right? So, yeah, man, it kind of brought me back into that. Man, I was like, yo, man, these sort of conversations, I remember having them a lot on YouTube where you're arguing with folks who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but they insist that they know what they're talking about because they have these alternative ways of looking at things, and they want to tell you that you're brainwashed because you don't believe what it is that they believe. So yeah, man, shout out to Neil deGrasse Tyson for actually responding with not pettiness, but straight up giving this dude the scientific reasons as to why his reasoning is bullshit. So shout out to Neil deGrasse Tyson. He is the Span Report champ of the week. But going from that, I got this new segment that we're going to call the This Week in Hotep.
What did I tell you about disrespecting my new impressions? With disrespect, you... Oh my God. The mother of Mecca is right here before me. Do my eyes not deceive me, or am I looking at the goddess Isis herself? Can you do me a favor, my brown skin angel? Can you tap that white girl for me?
All right. Now, this week in Hotep, I came across this story. It's a young brother named Mark Barnes. I hope I'm not like doing this guy any disservice by putting his name up. But I came across this video by Mark. And Mark had been watching Umar Johnson videos, right? And after watching the Umar Johnson video, he came up with this interesting theory about Levi's jeans. Check this out.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I was just, watching Dr. Umar Johnson, one of his videos on YouTube. You know, tonight I was just chilling. And it's crazy because he was talking about the Willie Lynch stuff. And I remember my dad saying something about Levi's jeans. So he was talking, Dr. Umar was talking about the Willie Lynch. And he was talking about how they used to, you know, beat the strongest male in front of all of the women and children on the slave plantation. They used to beat the strongest male, tar feather them, you know, and what they would do is they would tie both sides of his legs, you know, to horses and beat both ends of the horses, and the horses would rip the slave in half. And what's crazy is, he was talking about Levi's jeans. And he was like, that's where the logo or the jeans come from. You know, on the Willie Lynch. And it's crazy because I had a damn pair of Levi's jeans on. I'm like, hold up, let me check and see what's going on.
Oh my God.
And lo and behold, the goddamn pair of jeans got the goddamn Willie Lynch patch on it. You can see the date. I'm going to get close, like, I can make it sharper. You know what I mean? Like May 1870, what's it say, 2 or something like that? Like when slavery ended or something, or a couple years before slavery ended or something. And it's like, it's crazy because it's really the Willie Lynch stuff. Like, I really, like, I don't even know what to think about that, you know? It's just a sign, you know, for black people to wake up, you know, like we wearing jeans and it has stuff like this on it. You know, it's ridiculous. So let me know what you think about this.
All right. Now, this video has over 1 million views on Facebook. As right now, he has 1,081,018 views on Facebook, right? And I wanted to respond to the brother. I kind of wanted to talk to the brother on Facebook, but I couldn't exactly comment on the video. But it was weird because, he thinks that, funny thing is, he thinks that because this video is getting so much attention, that is because people agree with him, right? Here's the thing, man, and I've spoken about like the Willie Lynch letter. Of course, the Willie Lynch letter, the Willie Lynch syndrome isn't real. That Willie Lynch the whole idea of the Willie Lynch letter didn't pop up until the late 70s, early 80s. The fact that Umar Johnson was speaking about the Willie Lynch letter doesn't necessarily surprise me, because Umar Johnson is, let's just keep it 100. Like, a lot of what he says sounds good to people who don't necessarily read and look into things for themselves, right? Unfortunately, you know, and I know somebody, you know, I'm pretty sure somebody gonna be, you know, they might be a little in their feelings about it and everything else. But if you actually listen to, if you actually read a lot of the shit that Umar Johnson speaks about, if you actually look into a lot of those things, a lot of it is bullshit. A lot of the things that he says is bullshit. And, you know, I remember at a time when I was like young and stuff like that, where I was really into listening to speakers like that. I was looking for the information. I was trying to find something that validated why I felt a certain way and everything else. I get it. I get the appeal, especially for somebody who I think Mark's age. I think he's a younger guy. He may be like 19, 20, 21. I get it. But at the same time, man, it's kind of weird. Like, it's kind of weird to watch this kind of unfold, man, to watch it. And he's so sure about it, man. He's like, yo, I'm going to burn out all my Levi's. I'm getting rid of all of my Levi's. I'm burning them. I got a pair of Levi's jeans on right now. But the thing of it is, like, when you think about the logo on the jeans, it has absolutely nothing to do with slavery. Looking at the logo, we're talking about the strength of the jeans, not tearing apart a slave. And one of the things about intellectual discipline, so to speak, or even just like being principled in how you look at things, like, you can't just take what some dude told you and take it at face value. Even with me, I have absolutely no issue with folks who have listened to what I said and, hey, challenge me on it. And if they're legitimately able to, like, you know, kind of switch what I said. Like, I've changed my position on a few things because I had better information on it, right? I'm not above doing that. So, you know, to just take things at face value, I think we can't necessarily do that. We have to investigate any and everybody who purports to speak for the people, pretty much. And so with Mark, I would advise him to kind of look a little bit more in depth as to the history of Levi's jeans, as to who his messenger is, that being Umar Johnson, and find an answer that makes sense that way, as opposed to just taking one side of it and figuring out that side has to be what the truth is, because there, you know, the truth lies in both on both sides. You have to figure out for yourself how that truth lies for you. But That was some of the most Hotepiest shit I had heard this week. And so for that, Mark Barnes was, he gave me the This Week in Hotep, real talk, man. But it is time for the listener feedback portion of the show. And I've got a few emails this week. And the first one here is... Hold up. Nope. That isn't it. Okay. Here's one of the emails that I got this week, right? This one is entitled Bitch Fest. The Spam Report podcast is a complete and total bitch fest. The host is always complaining and whining about something. He's bitching about the Oscars when that doesn't affect the real issues that black folks are facing every day. He's bitching about Spike Lee and Chirac, like it's Spike Lee who's killing people on the south side of Chicago. He's bitching about Bill Cosby and talking about how guilty he is, but gives a pass to drug dealers like Freddie Gray and Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin, who were all thugs and met the end that comes to thugs. It's as if the host is allergic to holding black people accountable for their lot in life. I would stop listening, but I must admit it's interesting to listen to a purported husband and father whine like a little bitch about everything. This show is political correctness run amok. You can't say shit nowadays without hurting someone's feelings, and this show is usually one whole hour of hurt feelings. Grow a pair, quit being a bitch. All right, now, where is it?
It was at this moment where this listener knew he fucked up.
Here's the thing, man. I have always spoken to things that I think are relevant to what folks are talking about, at that particular moment in time. So when I'm talking about the Oscars, I'm talking about the Oscars not only because it's relevant, but because it affects people of the African-American community. When I'm talking about Bill Cosby, I'm talking about it not only because it's relevant, because it affects folks of the African-American community. When I'm talking about Spike Lee, I'm talking about something that's relevant and relevant to the African-American community. And this is what folks are talking about. I speak a lot about things that are on people's mind at the time. Right. So if you don't necessarily agree with me, that's perfectly fucking fine. But I won't be your bitch. That's what I'm not going to be. You can't even come here and have what we would call a respectful disagreement. You can't even do that. That's what I find interesting, that you can't necessarily disagree with me without being disrespectfully disagreeable. Right. So when I talk about, say, for instance, the Oscars. Whether the Oscars affect me or not is totally irrelevant to what the point of the matter was, which is the fact that the Oscars have been negating credible African-American performances for that award. That's what that conversation is about. When I talk about Spike Lee and that movie, I'm talking about the fact that Spike Lee spoke highly of the fact that his movie was aimed at saving lives, when that was the furthest thing that that movie was able to produce. He made a joke of what was going on in Chicago. That's what I was talking about. That was my beef with Spike Lee. That's always been my beef with that particular movie. It was trash. Now, whether or not you agree with that or not, totally irrelevant to me, especially since you can't be respectfully disagreeable on this particular issue, right? Now, you could talk about whether or not I'm bitching about shit, whether or not I'm whining about shit, but at the end of the day, I'm speaking to issues that a lot of my listeners want to hear about and that a lot of people are already talking about, all right? And you listen too. Ironically, you listen too. So no matter how much you would want to try to downplay what it is that I'm talking about, whether it's an hour bitch fest or not, your ass can't get enough of it, so much so that you continue to listen and you'll write into the show to get me to respond to you. Right? So honestly, dude, like, you can call the show whatever you wish. I'm going to continue to do my show the way that I see fit. I'm going to continue to speak to the issues that I think are important. I'm going to continue to speak to the things that the people are talking about as well. I'm going to give my perspective on that. That's what I do here. That's what the Spare Report podcast is. We are speaking to the issues that a lot of folks are talking about, and I'm giving my perspective on that. Whether folks agree with me or disagree with me, that's part of the conversation. But if you want to continue to have these dialogues, be respectfully disagreeable. I'm not your bitch, dude. I'm not your bitch. And so I can get less than a fuck about what your opinion is of me. And that's another thing too. When it comes to folks who are respectfully or disrespectfully disagreeable, I think of your opinion as much as I think of the paper that I wipe my ass with, man. I don't think about it a whole hell of a lot. I continue to do me. Nobody's going to run this show but me. Nobody's going to continue to produce this show but me. You getting this show for free. Why? I haven't asked you to pay for shit. Wouldn't do it. Can't do it. Right? So, say whatever the fuck you want to, man. Real talk. But so long as you continuing to listen to me, man, like, you're being mad at this being a continual bitch fest or whatever else, man, I can get less than a fuck about. Right? So, with that, fuck you. How about that? Huh? How about that? Fuck you very much. Thank you so much for writing in, you bitch made motherfucker who didn't even want to put your name on your goddamn email. Silly motherfucker. All right. Now, got another email. This one here is about Bill Cosby. And this email says, hey, dude, I've heard you talk about how rare it is for women to lie about rape. And you said that number falls anywhere between 2-8%. That's not rare at all. That's like saying black people in America are rare because we are only 13% of the United States population. It's not logical, and you sound like you're talking from an emotional place, like a female. Grab your nuts, dude. I'm wondering if this is the same guy. But I would say this. Your analogy doesn't fucking work in this instance, right? You talk about whether or not 2-8% isn't a rare occurrence of when it concerns false rape allegations and whatever else, right? Because black people make up 13% of the population, right? What if I told you that Stephen Curry shoots anywhere between 92-98% from the free throw line, right? That he misses between 2-8% of his free throws. you would consider Stephen Curry a pretty goddamn good free throw shooter. Upper echelon free throw shooter. He rarely misses because he shoots anywhere between 92 and 98%. Right? So if Stephen Curry is a very good free throw shooter and he rarely misses when it comes to free throw shooting, when it comes to allegations or false allegations of rape, and that instance is within 2 and 8% overall, that makes it a very rare occurrence that when a woman comes forth to say that she had been sexually assaulted, that it's false, that she misses. She very rarely misses. Women very, very rarely miss when it comes to allegations of rape. That's where we're going with this. Not that 13% of the United States population is black. Now, the argument could be made that there's a lot of folks in that a lot of white folks who live in America who haven't been exposed to black folks, who haven't seen black folks, who don't live around black folks. But that's not the point that's being made. The point that's being made is this: women who come forward to say that they have been sexually assaulted very rarely are lying about it. That's the point. Unfortunately, a lot of you dumb motherfuckers seem to miss that shit. That's the point. And nobody is saying, and here's another thing too, nobody is saying that false rape allegations don't happen. Nobody is saying that. But they're a very rare occurrence in the grand scheme. And you overstating the fact that women are falsely accusing dudes ain't helping this conversation much at all. Because now you want to act as if everybody's lying. Yeah, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, yada, yada, yada. But you're overstating the occurrences of women lying about being sexually assaulted. Every last one of us knows a woman who's been sexually assaulted. You do too. Whether they told you or not is something entirely different. You know why? Because of your attitude about it. If every time you've been told a woman was raped and your first instance is to say, well, what did she do to deserve it? Why did she go into the room? Why was she taking these drugs? Why was she doing that? Every woman around you listening to you is like, okay, so if I do say anything about my sexual assault, this motherfucker is going to think it's my fault. Why am I even going to tell him? He's not going to believe me. Right? Yeah. But going on to the rest of this email, you say, you've also been so much of a Cosby basher that you don't seem to notice that charges against Cosby have been dropped. Dropped. So are you going to be issuing any apologies for throwing his name, for throwing dirt on this great man's name and convicting him unjustly with your show? Are you going to be just as vocal about his innocence as you have been about his guilt? I'm dying to know because the media certainly hasn't been talking about it. I know you probably won't. Bill Cosby is not guilty, and all you haters can go suck a pudding pop. Ha, not guilty, bitches. All right. Here's the thing. Bill Cosby has a court date February 2nd. Bill Cosby has not had the sexual assault allegations or the sexual assault charges against him as currently. Those are still, that's still going on. That's the case that he's still fighting. What Bill Cosby had dismissed was a defamation suit where a woman was suing him for defamation because he said that she was lying and he said that she was extorting him. That was dismissed, not the sexual assault for which he was arrested for. So what I'm going to need some of you Bill Cosby motherfuckers to do is actually read what the fuck is going on. That's what I'm going to need y'all to do. Actually read what the fuck is going on. Right? Now, whether or not Bill Cosby is found not guilty or guilty, right? Here's the thing. I think Bill Cosby did it. Whether the court finds him not guilty or guilty, to me, is irrelevant. Why? Because I still think that George Zimmerman's ass should be locked up. I still think that Darren Wilson's ass should be locked up. In much the same way that I think Daniel Holdsclaw got exactly what the fuck he deserved. 263 years. Do you believe that Daniel Holdsclaw did it? You know, a lot of his victims didn't come forward at first. You know, they didn't tell anybody. So do you think he deserved 263 years? Do you think that Daniel Pantaleo, who killed Eric Garner on camera, Do you think he should be in jail? Why do you think he should be in jail? Oh, you think he did it? I think Bill Cosby did it. The same way that I think R. Kelly did it. And the reason that the media isn't talking about this dismissal that you motherfuckers keep talking about is because that's not what he's not out of trouble for the defamation suit. That's what he got dismissed. Defamation, not sexual assault. Sexual assault is still going on as we speak. He has a court date February 2nd for this shit. That's what's happening. And so my thing to you would be an apology. I'm not apologizing for shit. I'm not apologizing for shit. I'm saying exactly what the fuck I believe. Now, you believe Bill Cosby didn't do it. You believe that you're probably one of those cats who believes that because Bill Cosby was trying to buy NBC way back in 1992, that all of a sudden the NBC has to come up with some rape scandal to keep from buying, selling their shit to him. As if all they didn't have to do was say, was like, no, nigga, we don't want to sell it to you. Like, that's all it takes. We don't want to sell our shit to you. As if we don't have black people who own networks. Oprah owns her own network. Bob Johnson at one point owned Viacom. Owned BET. Who is that owned TV One? Kathy Hughes at one point. Own the network. These people own networks. Black folks own the networks. Why aren't we hearing any goddamn rape scandals about them? If it's all about owning the television network. That's fucking stupid. So what I would advise a lot of you Bill Cosby supporters to do would actually read up on the shit before you come here with this bullshit to me. Because a lot of y'all sounding real fucking stupid. Real fucking stupid. And it's a bit annoying. It's a tad bit annoying. But I appreciate you listening to the show. Thank you so much. You ain't getting no motherfucking apology from me, though. Real talk. But, yeah, man. That's it for the listener feedback portion of the show. And it's time for me to get the hell on up out of here. So, here's what we're going to do. I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spin Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. There's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll respond to those. And do that right here on the air. You can also email me here at feedback@thespinreport.com. That's feedback@thespinreport.com. Leave me those emails. And of course, I'll respond to those emails here as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So chop it up with your boy throughout the week. And also like the Mr. Span fan page. Go over to Facebook and like the Mr. Span fan page. It's sorely appreciated. It's really appreciated. Thank you so much for you guys to go over there and do that. Also, man, send me your ass hat of the week submissions. asshat@thespanreport.com. Somebody we can talk about next week, man. Give it to me. asshat@thespanreport.com. Send me those submissions there. Also, go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio and leave your boy a review, right? 5 stars, preferably. The 5-star reviews get read here on the show. So go there, leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes and or Stitcher and have your review read here on the show. And for all of your Spare Report needs, man, go to www.thespareport.com. www.thespareport.com. Everything Spare Report related is available there on the website. Yeah, man, but I got to get out of here. Baby's birthday party popping off as soon as I get off of here. So until next time, fam. Peace.